Thank you, and a very pleasant good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Gary Colley, evangelist of the Get Well Church of Christ here in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's a delight and a joy each Lord's Day morning at this same time to greet you with the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, of course, is the Word of God, the New Testament, that which is the new covenant made by man or made with man by God. And, of course, he is the one who makes all the stipulations for that covenant. Man either agrees to do God's will or else he rejects God's will. And we don't want to do that. We want to be sure that we live in harmony with that which God has given us. We invite you to the services of the Get Well Church of Christ today. Our Bible study begins at 9:30. You still have time to come and be with us. And then at 10:20 for our regular worship service, and at 5 p.m. this evening, and preceded up by that singing at 4:30. So we're hopeful you will take advantage of all of these opportunities. And each Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we again meet together in order that we may worship and serve the God of our creation and strengthen each other in the most holy faith. We want to remind you, too, of our spiritual sword lectureship. It begins October the 19th and will continue through the 22nd. 28 speakers will be with us, and we're on great Bible portraits of the Old Testament as a theme. And so we're hopeful that you will take advantage also of that. Mark your calendars, and then you'll be ready when the time comes to come and be with us. We want you to know the truth, because Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And that, of course, is a wonderful blessing that comes to each of us. In Acts 17:11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were true." How can we know the difference in truth and error? Well, of course, the Bible is true. And error is that which is based on man's theories and man's thinking, but not on that which the Word of God teaches. Now, it may seem right to men, but it won't be right. And we must prove all things and hold fast that which is good. In Proverbs 14:12, he said, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends of that way are the ways of death." My friends, be careful. Those on television, those on radio, oftentimes give you a false theory of salvation. They do not tell you the necessary steps in order to come into Christ, the way. And, of course, that is by hearing the Word of God, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing the name of Christ with your mouth before men, and being buried with your Lord in the waters of baptism. After Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he said in Matthew 28:18-20, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you teach them to observe all things that I've taught you. Lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world." You remember our Lord also said to his disciples in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, New Testament Christians then are those in the way. That is the way that God has pointed out for us in the Word of God. Sometime before God's people were identified in the Scriptures as Christians, they were frequently referred to as those of the way. In Acts the 9th chapter, verse 1 and 2, "Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem." Then again in the 19th chapter of Acts, verse 9, he said, "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus." Now in the same chapter, verse 23-29, it says, "In the same time, there arose no small stir about the way, for certain men named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain to under his craftsmen, but whom he called together," or when he called together these people, workmen of like occupation, he said, "Sirs, ye know that this craft, by this craft we've made our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but also throughout all of Asia, this Paul hath persecuted and persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath, and they cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord unto the theater. Now, what was the problem here? Well, Paul was proclaiming the way, the Lord's way. And that way, of course, was what Christians were in. And these people were not. They were worshiping the goddess Diana, an idolatrous god. In Acts 22, verse 4, verse 1 through 4, he said, Men and brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, in the city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of our fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. Watch it now. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. In Acts 24, verse 14 and verse 22, he said, But this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Verse 22, And when Felix heard these sayings, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, When Lystra the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matters. Well, in noticing these verses then, we realize that oftentimes those who were Christians were not called Christians there, but they were told they were those who were in the way. Now, this description then of the Lord's disciples of that day is profound, isn't it? It's significant for Christians to understand. Beginning at Pentecost, the apostles reveal the fullness of God's will as it pertains to man's relationship to God. In Acts, the second chapter, there we find the apostles as they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they spoke those things concerning the way. And in verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the Lord added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. In the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 26 through 28, he said, Wherefore I take you to record this day that I'm free from the blood or pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto the flock of which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. Now here we find the way described as the church of the living God. And it is very important that we understand that, because the believers, they submitted to Christ, even unto baptism, didn't they? And they changed their lifestyle in order to comply with God's way. Well, this may be something that you've never heard before, but this way was new and extremely different than the way that the rest of the nation, that is the Jews, and the world, the Gentiles, were living. In Acts 24, verse 14, Paul said, But this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of your father, of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Well, hence we learn some things here that we need to know. In Acts 19, verse 7 through 9, And all the men were about 12, it says, that is at Ephesus, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. Hence we find the followers of Christ were soon labeled as those of the way. Those of the way, mentioned in the book of Acts, were also those who held true to the faith. And following his conversion, Paul described the message which he had been preaching and which he had tried to destroy by using the word of the faith. In Galatians 1:23-24, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once was destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Then again in Colossians 1:23, he said, if you continue in the faith, and be grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye heard, which was preached unto every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. In Philippians 1:27, he said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In Ephesians 1, verse 15 and 16, he said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. In Romans 1, verse 4 through 8, and declared to be the Son of God with power, it says, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith, among all nations for his name, among whom also ye are seen, are called of Jesus Christ. To all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. We turn to Acts 14, verse 21-22, says, when they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through that much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Again, we turn in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12 and 21, fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold upon life eternal, whereunto thou hast also called, and hast professed the good profession before many witnesses. Verse 21 says, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Well, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 8, he said, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so also do these resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Then verse 7, I have fought a good fight, Paul said. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Well, here we find then another illustration of what people are who are Christians are walking in. They're walking in the way. They're walking in the faith. And that is the gospel. Well, Luke also uses that phrase in the same manner in saying, a great number or a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Acts 6 and verse 7. And these who wrote the New Testament epistles often used the idiom which speaking of God's message to man as the faith. In Hebrews 12:2, there he speaks concerning those things, saying that these are walking in the way and the faith. We have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, he said in Hebrews 12:1. Let us therefore walk earnestly of that way. In James 2:14, there he said, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, in the same manner, in other words, if faith hath not works, it's dead, being alone. So those who wrote the New Testament often used these things in talking about the way of life. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7 through 9, he said, cast all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Here we find again, in 1 John 5, verse 3 through 5, this is the love of God, he said, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Revelation 2, verse 12 and 13, and to the angel of the church at Pergamos write, these things saith he that hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hath not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Then in Psalms 18 and verse 30, he said, as for God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. So thus we find those in the way follow the system established by God that produces saving faith. Romans 10:17 says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's way, my friends, is perfect. As we notice in Psalms 18:30, it's perfect in every sense. In fact, in Psalms 19:7, he said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You see, when man was formed by God from the dust of the ground, Genesis 2:7, he created him with free moral agency. In Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17, there it says, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Well, by nature, man's needs tend to conflict with God's ways, don't they? In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, God said, my ways are not your ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. In Judges 17, verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but it says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, that wasn't God's will, was it? Judges 21, 5 says, and the children of Israel said, who is there among all of the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning him that came up out of the, or came up to the Lord at Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. Well, in chapter 21, verse 5, then, we learn the things concerning the nature of those who conflict with God's will. Now, a person's standard for life may seem right to a human perspective, yet the scriptures reveal that when man's ways are out of step with God's ways, then it results in sin. 1 John 3, 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. We noticed in the beginning of our thoughts, Proverbs 14, 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends of that way are the ways of death. In Romans 6, 23, there he said, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does it mean to be in Christ? It means to be in the way that Christ has made. It means to be in the church, which he built with his teaching and purchased with his blood. It means to be in the faith, that which has come by the revelation of God in the New Testament. All of these things, then, commit us to the things that God has given us. And it must be that man is commanded not to walk in the way of evil. You know, in Psalms 1 and verse 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and upon his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf doth not wither, not wither at all, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now he said, the wicked are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For God knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Well, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, there Paul exhorts, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Well, the truth of the matter is that we don't have no fellowship with unrighteousness if we're righteous. They do not approve us. They do not recognize us. and we have no communion between light and darkness. God is righteous, and the Lord expects us to walk in the way of righteousness. In Proverbs 8, verse 20 through 30, he said there, I lead in the way of righteousness, and in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possesseth me from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. And when he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then was I by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Well, when we see these words, what a joy it is. Titus 2:11 and 12. He said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Now, for this reason, my friends, each soul should seek the Lord's way throughout his life. Jeremiah 6:16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now you see the rebellion of man when he does not want to do God's will and walk uprightly before the Lord. But Jeremiah 10:23, Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. And it's true, isn't it? So what shall we do? Well, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, you study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now the word of truth, of course, is the New Testament. And Jesus said in Matthew 26:28, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But you see, due to man's personal weakness to worldly temptations, the Lord's way can seem extremely difficult at times. In Matthew 7:13, for instance, he said, now you enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many are they that enter in thereat. But narrow is the gate, straitened is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Well, how few it will be. If you're looking for the way, my friends, it's there, and it is revealed clearly in the Scriptures. But if you turn aside, you will be lost. In Romans 7:13, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Yes, indeed, living in the Lord's way can seem extremely difficult at times, but it is the best way to live. It is the only way to live if we want to be saved and go to heaven at last. You see, living godly in an ungodly world, it comes with challenges, doesn't it? Oh, I don't have to convince you of that, I'm sure, because you realize those challenges are there. And God realizes this fact of life. In Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13, he said, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner, or alive, to discern the thoughts and the intents of a man's heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Well, we realize then that God knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts, he knows our words, he knows our actions. And he assures his people that they will not face more trials than they're able to endure. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13, he said, let a man that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But he said, there's no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will also with the temptation make the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So he assures us as his people who are in the way, who walk in the faith, who live in harmony with God's will, in other words, he assures us that we will not face more trials than we're able to endure. Well, how does a person fall into sin? There is some reason for it, and there is certainly a way for it to happen. Well, man falls subject to sin whenever he gives into his lustful ways. You see, the devil cannot make you do anything, but you can allow him to tempt you with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And according to the scriptures, when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. James 1:13-16 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." What an exhortation it ought to be for each of us to understand and to see. We do not want to err by leaving the truth behind. We're not walking in the way that God has marked out for us. Not living by the faith of the gospel of Christ. Paul said, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and unto the foolish. And so as much as is in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel also to you at Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek." Well, in order for us to preserve and prevail, Christians should have the same attitude that David did during his pursuit of a godly life. In Psalms 119, verse 27, he said, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works." My friends, we can do that. Let's strive to walk in God's ways each day. Do not falter. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but stay in the way that leads unto life eternal. Oh, yes, there's some difficulties there, but you can overcome them, and you should, and you must. And we must seek to walk uprightly before the Lord until the day that he calls us into his presence for judgment. Been good to be with you today. Certainly, we're hopeful that you will come and be with us in our services at the Getwell Church of Christ, and we will be glad to help you in any way possible with the spiritual matters which you may be concerned about. But until we meet you then, or by means of this broadcast next Lord's Day, we must now bid you a very pleasant, good Lord's Day.